Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, I am absolutely delighted to be here with you. The weather outside is frightful. And so, because of that, we are dedicated here, Justina and Dre and I are dedicated to helping you on your commute with love and laughter and fun and conversations that will probably make you angry, probably make you feel frustrated. It may even make you think, and I'm almost certain that you're going to want to call me. But if you are driving out in this mess, even if you want to call me, I'm going to tell you now, from our heart to yours, to be careful. If you've got a comment that you've got to get through, pull over and call me. Use the speaker. Use your Bluetooth. Go hands-free so that you can get home safely. I do want to send out just a little love, a little care, a little concern to all of the babies from the Baltimore City Public Schools who are just getting out of school in the midst of this snowstorm. So I just want to say that if your kiddos are in the county, you're fine because they made sure their babies got out 2 and 3 hours ago. Make sure that they're home safe. No, our children right here in the city who attend any public school in Baltimore City, they are just getting out of school. They are now walking to the bus. They're now standing at the bus stop. They are now waiting for you to pick them up in the midst of what they're saying is the heaviest time that we're going to have, whatever this mess is outside. The snow and the ice from 3 to 6 p.m. See, I've said it before, and I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Seriously, does anybody who runs this city love our children? Because I'm just wondering why our children didn't get out early. Now, you may be thinking, well, you know, it's Baltimore City. The weather changes so quickly. There's a chance it might not have happened. It was a 100% chance. And everybody else took that news report and said, you know, we're going to be proactive. I would rather scramble and get my kid at 2 o'clock, get my kid at 1 o'clock, then have to drive right now to pick up my kid in the middle of this. I would rather my kid go out at 1 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, and get on the bus to be close to home than have them walking outside now. It is a mess out there. And I know I'm a broken record. I know I have a couple of drums that I beat all the time. But folks, if we don't speak up for our children, if we don't love our children with a fierceness and a passion, if we are not proactive for our children, then who will be? I'm just trying to figure out, and we've had this conversation before, what is the criteria that's used in Baltimore City to determine whether or not they should close the schools? Now, we have spoken to Dr. Sonia Santelices. We have spoken to principals about this before. Dr. Santelices was on our show about a year ago, and we had this conversation. So I get it. There's a whole formula at play. I get that. And they get concerned because they want to make sure that when young people are in the school, they get their lunch, because you and I both know and understand that for some of our babies in this city, the food they get from school might be the only meal they get today. If they got the breakfast that was available this morning and they got the lunch that was available, that might be the only meals that they have. So I want to make sure the babies get fed. But people get fed at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Why didn't our babies get off early? Now, you may not agree with me. I get that. I understand I'm beating a dead drum here. I understand it's not going to happen, right? And I understand that apparently here in Baltimore City, Our babies are told to have grit. I want to use the definition of grit as set forth by my colleague, Jesse Schneiderman, who used to be a teacher at Frederick Douglass High School. Jesse Schneiderman used to always say, grit is what we tell poor black kids when we can't give them what it is they need and they deserve. So it's snowing outside and icy. Just have some grit and get home. It's cold outside. No problem. Just have some grit. And stand and wait for your bus. Oh, no, no. It's a lot of snow and ice. It's going to be real messy and slippery going home. No problem. Just have some grit. Suck it up. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow in a building that will potentially not have any heat. See, now, y'all don't want to get me started, right? Because I'm thinking, if we go down this road, Justina, and we start talking about our babies slipping and sliding on the way home, then we also have to go down the road to say that there are some of our children today who were inside of cold buildings. So they have gone from cold buildings to a cold walk to get to the bus. So maybe that's just how we treat our kids, right? So it's a little nasty outside. Let me tell you what we're talking about today. We weren't even going to talk about this, but when I looked out the window, how can I not? Justina wanted to remind me that some of our children, and maybe this is by choice, so don't start screaming. Maybe it's by choice, but some of our babies don't have coats. Some of our babies don't have hats. Some of our babies don't have gloves. They don't. And you know how I know this? Okay, so tell now, this is all anecdotal, right? But let me tell you how I know this to be true. Because at the beginning of my winter break, I did my Say Hello, Speak Light Challenge. Remember that? When I was standing out on the porch every morning, speaking to the young people, walking by, going to school, and it was freezing cold. I know I'm wearing my husband's coat. I got on boots, double socks, just to walk from my porch down to the front just to say hello. When a young person walked by, Michael, the young person I'm going to be mentoring, he didn't have on a coat. He had on a sweatshirt. No gloves, no hat. He said he was freezing. It was so cold that day. I went through my entire house, top to bottom. I took every pair of gloves I could find, my husband's gloves, my kid's gloves. I took every scarf I could find. I took all my scarves out there, and I just had a big box on my porch. I was like, you know what? Take what you want. Young people were walking by, taking the gloves, taking the hats, taking the scarves. That was day one. Day two, I said, you know, I'm going to be really prepared today. I want to get a couple of different colors out here today. How about students started walking up and said, are you the hats and gloves lady? Because it's cold and we don't have them. So I know this to be true. I know you're going to push back and say, kids choose not to wear coats. You know what? Even if they do, it shouldn't stop us from saying it's a little nasty outside. It's going to be real disgusting at about 3. Let's let them out at 2. Now, I'm not the superintendent of schools. I'm very clear about that. So I don't know everything that goes into the decision. I have no idea what Dr. Sonia Santelisa's day looks like at all. I'm sure she's extremely busy. I know she works hard, and I have a lot of respect for her. I also know that she got kids, though. I'm just saying, if I was the person in charge, if I was the mayor of Baltimore City and my baby was on the bus today, school would have been closed at 1. I'm just saying, because I don't want my baby standing at the bus stop. If I ran the city and my little kid had to walk to the bus stop, school would have been closed about 1:30 today. Because I want to make sure my own child gets home. If I was the mayor and I just got a raise and now I'm making $190,000 a year, and I had grandkids who had to catch the bus, you can best believe I would have been calling Dr. Sonia 11 o'clock this morning going, what time are you closing the schools? Because you know, my grandbaby needs to get home. No, let me send my car to go get my grandbaby. You know what? Let me send my own car to go get my grandmother and get my grandbaby and get my grandkid and get my husband because I can drive and do that. What if you're not driving and you're at the bus stop right now and your kid is at the bus stop too? Just throwing it out there. Let me tell you what we're talking about today, because we got some stuff to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about Baltimore City and the weather when it comes to our kids, because it makes me angry. And I'm going to tell you why it makes me angry, because like you, I'm also a parent. See, I started texting my kid at 10:30 saying, hey, what time is school closing? And he said, oh, school's not closing. Okay, well, if school's not closing, what time can I come get you? Because if school's not closing, then let me be proactive and come and get you so that nobody has to be out during this time. I want to talk about the Squeegee Enterprisers today in this first hour because a post went up online that is going viral. I'm going to say Baltimore City viral, right? We're not saying nationwide viral. But a post went up about not the Squeegee Enterprisers who are under the age of 18, but the Squeegee Men. I'm just going to call them Squeegee Men. What happens when the Squeegee Men get upset because you're not giving money to the Squeegee Enterprisers and they want to start attacking your car? I want to talk about that after we get through some of these calls about Baltimore City and the school system. And then in the second hour, is anyone else... okay. So it came out in the Baltimore Sun, breaking news, folks, that our mayor, who, by the way, has not committed any murders. I want to say that because that's what he said. When they asked him about crime in Baltimore City, our mayor, Jack Young, said he is not committing any murders. Our mayor, who didn't go to a town hall because, quote, I didn't want to go. Our mayor, who said, hey, be careful about the white vans. I saw it on Facebook. The girls are getting snatched. Our mayor, who said, hey, we need to bring these young brothers down and put them at the arena, let them fight it out to stop violence in the city. Our mayor has just gotten a raise along with all the rest of those folks working. The mayor is up to about $190,000 a year. I'm just wondering, in a city where the median income is $51,000 a year, and where you have a bulk of the black folk in this city living below the poverty line, right here, I'm wondering what statement would it have made? And I'm not going to tell the mayor how to do it, but I ain't the mayor. I'm saying, but what statement would it have made if the mayor had said, look, I'm getting ready to get a raise. I'm going to say no to that raise until we raise the income level in this city. Like what would it mean? Like, what would it mean for the next mayor, whoever it is, Mayor Young, Brandon Scott, you know, Mary Washington, whoever it is? What if the next mayor said, I'm not going to have a $100,000-plus inauguration ball. I'm going to have a big cookout so that everybody in the city can come hang out with me and not just my big donors. Like, what would it have cost them? I mean, I'm just saying. Once you get over 150 grand, I don't think another 2,000 a year is going to make or break you. I want to talk about that in the second hour. But first, let's get through some callers who just want to chime in about the weather, the school, whether or not they agree or disagree. How you doing out there? 410-319-8888. I have Alva on the phone from Lauraville. Alva, how are you? Alva on line one, are you with us? All right, I don't have Alva, so I'm going to go on to Effie from West Baltimore. Effie, how are you?
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well, and it's Ife.
Ife, how you doing? I like that. Hey, Ife.
Hi, I want you to know, keep beating that drum, okay? Keep beating that drum. We'll get results one day.
I'm telling you. But if tomorrow ever comes, right, Ife?
It comes. It always comes. But at any rate, we need someone that just keeps reminding people of the conditions that our babies are existing in.
Yeah.
And my kids are all grown, but I still say, did you buy your wool socks this year?
There you go.
You know, where's your scarf? Do you
Come
have
on.
A scarf?
Come on.
They're grown and married. And they said, Mom, look, we know. We got it. We got it covered. You know, so I'm concerned when I see children that aren't dressed properly, and my husband said, you can't take care of the world. Okay. So
no,
you're
I'm
not alone.
Them.
You're not alone on this.
I'm with him. And we do the little bit that we can, right, Ife?
Yeah.
We do what we can.
We do what we can. And the mayor is just cracking me up. I was just laughing so hard. I mean, what else can he say.
Don't worry, he got his raise, so he going to be all right.
Oh, I know he's going to be all right. Oh, yes, he is. So, all right.
Efe, thank you for calling.
Thank you, folks.
We're beating the drum here. We have Ayanna on the phone. Ayanna is a Baltimore City school teacher. Ayanna, how are you? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, Happy New Year, Doctor.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you for what you're saying, because literally before I turned on your show, we just got out of school, and I turned on the show, and I was just like, I hope somebody is raising this, because, like I said, I've been in Baltimore City for 12 years. But it's interesting because I spent some of that time, my 12 years, before I got into where I'm at now, I was in Catholic school. And St. James and John, which is in the city but follows the county schedule because it is a Catholic school. Meanwhile, all the schools around us would still be suffering and whatever was going on. We would be going home early or had no school at all. And I just think it's preposterous. I literally just saw one of my students who just had a hoodie.
Poof.
That's it. Just a hoodie. And I said, sweetheart, do you need a ride home? I'll be fine. I do this all the time.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's just really preposterous, and it's heartbreaking, really. If you start to really consider what our children are experiencing and what they have become accustomed to.
That's exact what you just hit on right there. Like, you just spoke a word, not just what they're experiencing, what they have become accustomed to.
Right.
We have raised our children to believe that any crumb that they get is enough to sustain them. And that's a problem.
Thank you.
Be careful driving home. Oh, folks, that's a word. I'm just writing that down. Any crumb that they get is enough to sustain them. We are raising up yet another generation of young people here in Baltimore City, where we're teaching them that whatever happens, you don't deserve more. You don't deserve better. And you're wondering why I'm making a big deal. You know what? I challenge you to do this. If you think it's a big deal, I challenge you to come out of your car, come out of your house, come out of your office, and walk down to the bus stop and stand there and wait for a bus, and then get off and have to transfer to another bus and go clear across town, because you can't drive and you can't do Lyft. All you have is public transportation, and you have to do this in the midst of what is called the height of this storm. You know, folks, I was visiting schools today. I was inside Baltimore City Public Schools today, and teachers said to me, what would it hurt to get out early? What would we lose? She said, the extra hours that we're staying here, there is no instruction happening because all the kids are sitting on edge thinking we're going to close. There's no instruction happening. We might as well get off so we can get home and our babies can get home, because it's not just our students who are out here, not just our children, but also our teachers. We have Wesley on the phone from Reisterstown. Wesley, how are you?
Quick.
Yes.
All one knows this. Do you have any idea what it would be like if we had a politician, a mayor, a whoever that we could actually trust?
Come on. I'm just saying.
You know?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I would love to be able to be in that position where I could actually trust a person, politician.
That's not going to lie to us, that we know actually not just love us, because you don't have to love us, at least have some compassion for us.
Right.
At least have that. I mean, sometimes people are like, I don't love my concern. You don't have to love us. If you just have compassion for us, if you just have an ear for us, if you just have a heart for us, don't worry about loving me or liking me, because having an ear, compassionate heart means you'll work on our behalf when we can't work for ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, we shouldn't be fighting for our babies. It should. Maybe I'm wrong about this, Wesley. Maybe babies should have stayed in school. But I'm just watching out the window, and all I'm thinking about is kids at bus stops waiting to try to get home for the next hour or two.
Right. No, you're correct. You're correct.
Yeah. There's nothing right about this. Thank you so much. Go ahead. Let me let you finish.
You have to make a decision. You have to make a good decision. Make the decision early and get it over with.
Yeah, and just stand by it. Stand by. What about, you know, what about making a decision where you place young people in the middle? I'm making a decision for what's the best interest of the child. And 2 extra hours in school, I'm almost certain that it didn't raise SAT scores. I'm sure it didn't. What happened in the last 2 hours? Like those people sitting around waiting to leave. Wesley, I appreciate you. Folks, we're going to hold it here for just a minute. We're coming back because we're going to ride out the next 2 hours with you. In fact, the next hour and a half. I'm in this with you. Tom Rett, Ankh, Sharon, hold on. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Come after the break and give me a call if you can. Today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. If you're just joining us, folks, be careful out there. It is a mess out there. So I'm beating the drum today. I'm a little upset today. And I just want to share it with you because I am concerned, again, that here we are on yet another snow ice day where schools all around Baltimore City closed early, 2 and 3 hours early, because to make sure that the young people who need to get home from K-3, K-4, all the way up to 12th grade, can travel home safely on their bus, in their, you know, parents' car, or whether or not they are catching the public bus. I mean, whatever it is, we just want to make sure they get home safely. I always get concerned when all of this is happening, and Baltimore City is a place that stays open. And I know you say, well, they're on the public bus. What's the big deal? There is a big deal with the fact that our children were in school and the time that they predicted that the storm would be the worst is the time when our babies got out. What would it have done to let them out at 1 o'clock? Now, do understand, folks, that I have tried to understand the criteria that Baltimore City uses to determine whether or not schools should close early. I know it's complicated. You're talking, you know, you got to work with parents for pickup. Where are they going to go? We got to go after lunch. I understand it's complicated. We also don't want to lose any days so we can make sure we get out soon. I get all of that. All of that is understandable. Dr. Santelises has been on my show before. She's explained all of that to me. And yet, I still look outside. I still think about babies walking to the bus. I still think about babies, you know, having to commute. I still think about parents picking their kids up now. And I still realize that only this is happening in Baltimore City, because the other places around Baltimore City, which incidentally are not predominantly Black and not predominantly economically challenged, already home. So maybe I'm beating the dead drum. What do you think? Is it a big deal? Like, I feel like we are raising another generation of young people, predominantly Black young people, to believe, hey, take every crumb we give you because you're hungry and this is all you deserve. We should demand better. And if we don't demand better for our children, then who's going to give it to them? It's like when I say I think that schools would be different if Dr. Santelises and the mayor put their offices in the schools that have no heat and no AC. See, it's easy to turn a blind eye to schools that don't have any air and schools that don't have any heat when you don't have to work there. What if you put your office in that building? What if your babies had to get on the bus today? Would that influence your decision? Research shows that it would. People tend to be more concerned and be more compassionate and be more upset and be more emotional when they have skin in the game. 410-319-8880. I have Tom Rett on from Silver Spring. How are you?
Hey, Doc. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm beating my old drum here.
Yeah, well, actually, I was saying keep beating it, just like the previous caller said. Keep beating it on multiple fronts. And the gentleman that just said, you know, we need a politician who you can trust. I'm definitely down. I think Brandon Scott is one of those guys. He seems to be one of those guys who's genuinely, you know, for the city and for the people. So that's my personal sort of tooting the horn for Brother Brandon Scott. With regards to the school scenario, it's weird. It seems like cities, most urban areas, mm-hmm. are wired the same way. I know New York was like this, and then I have a buddy in Chicago, and they're sort of along the same lines. But it, for Baltimore, it just it seems weird that they didn't shut down if every other district is doing that. And the fact that it wasn't,
yeah.
you know, it almost seemed as though there was anticipation of the actual event without it actually taking into account that the kids actually don't get picked up by buses. They actually ride two or three buses for an hour and a half. And the fact that they're going to be out in this type of environment, the fact that that wasn't taken into account is something that you definitely hit on the head.
I'm so glad you mentioned New York. I lived in New York for 10 years, and we would often go to work and all this is before I had kids when it was really horrible outside. But you know what we would do? We would walk in a block or so to the metro and going downstairs and going underground.
Yeah.
And I think it would be different if all the young people were up above ground having to get on the buses. See, that's when it gets really nasty.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's different, right? I mean, so if they had that option here, I probably wouldn't complain that much. Go downstairs, get on the subway, and go at home. No, no. They're outside waiting at the bus stops.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but I don't know if you, I guess you've paid attention to it. I coached a couple of different things, and dropping kids off and Oof. Seeing how long it takes them, you know, to get home is mind-boggling. And how many, I mean, they go up hills.
The whole thing.
Different buses. And in this type of environment, for them to go ahead and do that, and for the people that run sort of the infrastructure, not to have to think about that persistently year after year. I mean, it's a travesty. And especially like a data like today where it's simple. You know, we're talking about everybody else has done it, and you don't do it two hours, an hour and a half.
Come on.
At a time, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Thank you so much, Tom Wright. I appreciate you. We have Ankh on the phone from Mount Vernon. Ankh, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Have you ever read the Board of Miseducation?
The Miseducation of the Negro? You talking about Carter G. Woodson's book?
No, the Board of Miseducation.
No, I've read the Board of Miseducation.
Okay. Could I say something about the squeegee?
Yes.
Yes. You say grown men are doing that now?
Yes. So we have a situation, something that was shared on Facebook, where young people came up to a man's car, and when he waved them off, some men, squeegee men, I guess, apparently working with him, came over to the car and they were upset, telling the driver, hey, the kind of car you're driving, you can afford to give them a donation and get your windows washed. They end up spraying something in his face. Again, this is not through a police report. This is only through a Facebook post from the person that was involved. So we have not double-checked the story. We just have his post about this happening to him. He said they hit his car, the windshield with the squeegee. They kicked it, you know, his car as he ran through the light trying to get away. But these were squeegee men who were upset that he did not give money to the young squeegee enterprisers.
Yeah, well, I know this young white boy. I live in Mount Vernon. Him and his partner makes over $1,000 a week walking dogs. And if you could possibly tell some young folk to just go online, and white folk will pay you to walk their dogs.
Okay, for in terms of other employment.
Yeah, other employment. So you can go www.where's the bag, Billy. Have a good one.
Goodbye. And folks, we are going to talk to the person that was involved with this squeegee, with this incident at around a quarter of. We're going to switch the subject, but I want to get a couple other callers in here who are concerned about what's happening with the weather and the schools. We have V on the phone from Baltimore City. V's a first-time caller. Welcome to the family.
Thank you so much, Dr. K. It's actually D.
Hey, D.
But thank you so much. It's the same. I'm in Baltimore City. I had the pleasure of being in the Greenmount area today, and having lived in the county for a very long time. And I realized that, you know, one of the major differences is, like, I agree with what you said, the compassion. And living in the county, it's like you don't have that level of stress and pressure in order to transition. Now, I will say this, public transportation in this area is brutal. Having lived in Philadelphia, I have not lived in New York, but I've traveled to New York. Compared to that level of transportation system, to get just up and down Reisterstown Road, if you have to rely on public transportation, is a doozy.
It is.
That, so the county and the city, both of those transportation systems are kind of at a deficit. And then to put our, like you said, to put our babies in those systems, I think, I'm not calling it a political agenda, and to throw anybody's name in the ring, so to speak, but I do think that it's important for everybody to really take a serious look at who is really putting young people at the forefront. There are two indicators usually of growth, and it's one of the two of those things are investments in young people and investments in technology.
Yes, that, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said
those
that.
Those intersections in terms of what Baltimore has the potential to be, these squeegee kids, and that, you know, the caller that, you know, everybody that's called before, I think, has been on point this evening. And in terms of having to show more compassion, we do need more economic opportunities for these kids. They're looking for stuff to do. And at the end of the day, when you live in poverty, when you're stressed out, you don't stop to go and get a jacket. Like the caller says, kids out here with hoodies, you don't stop to get a jacket until it's cold outside when you live in poverty.
Yes.
Sweat out.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about it until it's time to go get it. I need an umbrella when it's raining.
They don't have time to
prepare. And that is what the chaos and confusion in Baltimore City does. It divides our people. We are so scatterbrained, we can't just stop and pause and think. If we took a moment to prepare, we would know that we would have an organized schedule to say, this is when this group gets out, so on and so forth. So I just wanted to applaud you. Thank you for having everybody stop on a rainy, snowy, nasty day in the traffic and just agree that it's time for us to really put our babies, all of our babies, because we don't protect all of the babies.
There you go.
All of the babies come after us.
There you go.
And the babies
yes.
don't discern because they're babies.
Thank you so much, Dee. Oh, I appreciate you, folks. It's interesting. I'm going to go to a couple more calls. I know people want to get this out. But I'm thinking of something Dr. King said. Dr. King said it. Christ said it. You know, Gandhi said it. Mary McLeod Bethune said it. Ida B. Wells said it. About taking care of the least of us. In my opinion, the least of us are our children. Who takes care of our children? Something that Dee just said. That an indicator of long-term success in a city is an investment in young people and an investment in technology. If we don't invest in young people, then they are going to want to leave. They're not going to want to stay in a city that has these kind of issues. We're talking about what is going on in this city from this weather, which I do want to spend some more time in, but I want to take a moment and speak to Doug Miller. He had a situation that he shared on Facebook. I want to put that out here. And then I want to go back. Mark, Trayvon, Sharon, Robert, hold on. We're going to come right back to the school thing. But let me get Doug Miller here. Doug, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we saw that you shared a situation on January 3rd of something that happened to you with the young men participating in the squeegee work. Could you take us through it, a little bit about your post?
Sure. So it actually happened. The incident was on the 2nd. I just wanted some time to unwind, clear my head, that type of thing before I posted anything, you know, because, you know, it is what it is. Look, the kids were out there hustling, trying to make some money. And, you know, I don't fault anybody for that by any means. My only concern is, you know, at the same time, why weren't they at school at 2:15, 2:20 in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
I was coming from the Green Spring Avenue, Cold Spring Lane area. My daughter had actually broke her wrist, and we were in that area. So I asked her what she wanted to do. She had to get her wrist set and had to get casted. So I said, you know, you handled it pretty well. Is there anything that you want to do today? I'm not taking you back to school. So what's your reward? And she wanted to go to Dangerously Delicious Pies in Canton. There's a chocolate peanut butter pie that she just loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place that has it. So I decided, I said, okay, not a problem. And, you know, anywhere I go, I always put in GPS in Waze just so I know I'm sitting in traffic is not my thing. You know what I mean? I'd rather go 10 minutes out of the way than a direct route, so I'm not sitting in traffic.
Right.
And, you know, the easiest route from the area right around, right around the Poly area, I guess. Is down 83 to President Street. And that's exactly what they gave me. Gave me 83 to President Street to go into Harbor East through Fells to get into Canton.
Right.
And I know the area well. I lived in Canton at one point. My wife and I frequent a lot of the restaurants still. Not as much as we used to. So, I'm 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm driving down. And I get to the intersection of Pratt and Lombard. Wasn't thinking anything of it. My front two windows were partially down. It was a relatively nicer day. It was one of the days last week. It was probably in the 50s or so, give or take. So my front two windows were partially down. And two younger, probably like middle schoolers, maybe 9th, 10th graders, my passenger side. I didn't even see them because they came from the right of me. But they came up to my daughter's side. My daughter saw them, got a little freaked out. Not a big deal. So I waved them off. The one came around to the front and wanted, you know, put a squeegee up and held his bottle. And I was like, no, I'm good, thanks. Everything was good. He was very respectful.
Right.
Walked away. The other one that was at her, her closer to her window, came around and stood in front of my car.
So one of them, one of the young ones, stood in front of your car.
Came to the front of my car like he was going to do spray and stand. I had nowhere to go at that point.
Okay, because the light was red.
Plus, the light was red, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, he's a, what, how old is the kid? You know, 13, 14, 15 years old. He's out there making a buck. And then it looked like he kind of almost gestured over. There were, on the left-hand side as well, there were people working. Now, the people that came from the left-hand side came to my window. One stood at my rear door, one was at my door, and they were definitely older, probably 23 to 25 range. They were definitely older. Well spoken, respectful at first. Basically said, come on, you can afford to tip a little shorty for cleaning your car windows.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't need my car clean, you know, just went on. Then they became more aggressive. My daughter got a little scared, a little freaked out. I'm waiting for the light to change. Now, all this happened in maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Now,
seems like,
well,
you know, an eternity.
Because I know, but you know, well, I just want to kind of move forward because I know that in your post, what really concerned us, you said they sprayed something in your face, they used a squeegee to hit your windshield, they kicked the back of your car, all of this as you were trying to wait for the light to change to get ready to move. Like, that's a lot happening in a short period of time.
I'm not thinking. I don't expect any of that to happen.
Right. Makes sense.
I put the window down a little more, and I said, hey, look, my daughter's really getting upset, you know, and they said, we don't care about your bleeping daughter. So, you know, at that point, the guy in the front sprayed the solution in my face. And it wasn't wiper fluid. It wasn't water. It was kind of like, it was like a coconut scented, and it was kind of sick. Like when it was on my windshield, unless it was with, it smeared, you know what I mean? Like
right.
It wasn't just coming off. And then sprayed the entire side of my car. When this happened, I looked to see and then went through the light. He hit the front guy in the front, hit my windshield with the squeegee. And then the guy in the back, I thought he hit my car with the squeegee in the rear, but it wasn't. My daughter saw it. He kicked it. So when he kicked it, and there's some scratches, and there was like a footprint on there, which was,
right.
You know, I dealt with that. And that's the least of my worries. Mm-hmm. You know, the main thing is just getting to safety without harming myself, them, or anyone else. You know, and just calming my daughter down.
Now, you said you've gone, you tried to contact politicians, you put
so
in a report,
so
but
I
nothing has happened
so
with that.
So the first thing, I called 911. When I called 911, the dispatcher, I cannot say enough positive things about this dispatcher.
Mm-hmm.
She heard my daughter. She got me through the call. You know, she said, my daughter was on speakerphone, it was on Bluetooth. So she said, you know, hey, calm down, sweetie. We're going to get you through this. We're going to make sure you're safe. You know, just talk her through it with me on the phone. Now, I was sitting at that point. I had crossed over Lombard, so I didn't have a physical address. But my best friend lives on South High Street, so I got to his house. I have his garage code. Got to his house, went in the garage code. Since the post, like I said, I wanted to calm down. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I said. So I calmed down, wrote the post. I have talked to Brandon Scott. I had a great phone conversation with him.
So he reached out to you. So good.
Brandon Scott, Mary Young reached out to me.
Okay.
He's got bigger things to worry about, and I totally get it. But Brandon Scott, Mary Young emailed me. Brandon Scott is actually getting me the 911 call on that. And the main thing that I was concerned with, you know, look, I'm an entrepreneur. I own my own business. I'm all about everybody making money. The main thing that I'm concerned about is when I called 911, she said, okay, I'm going to have somebody at your location. Well, I called my wife after that and said, hey, this just happened. Can you come get Kenzie? Because I don't want her sitting here with the police and waiting and reliving it. And my wife came and got her. My wife was there in about 10 minutes. My wife came and got her. And an hour and a half, 2 hours go by, the police still aren't there.
Did the police ever come?
So I get a call. At this point, I leave.
Right.
I said, I can't sit here the rest of my day. I already missed a half a day of work because So, and I promised my daughter the pie. So I'm not going to let my daughter down. So I leave at this point. I said, there's no reason sitting here anymore. So I get a call from a blocked number, which was the police officer, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, saying, hey, I'm at where they told me to be. And I said, yeah, that was how many hours ago? He said, well, we were in roll call and didn't have any available officers on the street.
Wow.
So, you know, that's when I got concerned. And
right.
I'm like,
and we know that
police
officers.
We love the city.
Here.
We go into the city. Like I said, we love the city. We want to, you know, and I get that there are hundreds of officers short, but at roll call, I'm sure there's still officers on the street between shift change.
Right.
Well, and, you know, I understand that this wasn't a high priority call.
Right. But they still, the idea, I know that we are down police officers. I am happy to hear, Doug, first, I'm sorry that this happened to you, but I'm happy that Brandon Scott has reached out. I'm happy that the mayor has reached out, that you're getting some response from people who are in the position to hopefully do something about this.
Conversation. TJ Smith had reached out.
So everybody's reaching out. So
yeah, all the mayoral. The only person that I haven't heard from that's pretty prominent in the election in the upcoming election has been Sheila.
Yeah,
everybody else has
I'm sure.
Reached
now just
out.
Saying it. Everybody's going to reach out. Doug Miller, I appreciate you. Please keep us updated on what happened, folks. This is a situation that happened in the city. Thankfully, we're in the season of the election, so mayoral candidates are reaching out because I know that you put in your post that you hadn't heard from any mayoral candidates, and now of course you've heard from everybody but one. It's like 15 people running. So.
Everybody under the sun. It's probably not a coincidence that everybody's releasing their crime plan now or has been.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Doug Miller. I really appreciate you. Folks, we're just talking about the city. I mean, it's that kind of day where we're looking out the window. We see what's happening with the weather. We know our babies were in school. We know we're having an issue. Somebody actually posted, I think Keith is Baltimore, posted on Twitter and said, hey, folks, you know, be careful out there. He said, hey, remember the Squeegee brothers, Squeegee young men, Squeegee boys, Squeegee Enterprises are out there working in this weather. So I'm definitely thinking about any young person who was either A, going home right now because our babies had to stay all day, or B, out there working, trying to make a buck. I definitely think we need to have a conversation about the Squeegee men and the threats. And we can talk about that in a second. But let's go back to talking about what's happening here with the fact that the county let their young people out at about 1:30 or so, and our children had to stay all day. Darnell Wharton said, look, Baltimore City's public schools have been doing this forever, Dr. K. I was a junior at Baltimore City College back in 1986. It wasn't snowing one morning. It started about 10 a.m. It was really bad, and by 1 p.m., it was about 2.5 inches outside. They still didn't close. By the time we got out, it was almost 4 inches of snow. Now, Alice Penderhughes was a school CEO there, and he said that she made the calls to keep the schools open. She was in the Bahamas when she made that call that we're going to keep the schools open. So Baltimore City schools have been doing this forever. But here's the question, folks. When do we decide? I don't mean Santa Lisa's. I don't mean Young. I don't mean Scott. I don't mean anybody working in Santa Lisa's office. I don't mean North Avenue. I'm saying, when do we decide that our children deserve better? And then we make this decision with our vote. When do we do that? We have Sharon on the phone from Baltimore. Sharon, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, Dr. K, what we have, a school system that's being run by a CEO, which means that it's a business model. And business models mean the bottom line. And we need to think about the fact that maybe in the county they do have, as you mentioned, a superintendent.
There you go. Oof.
Which has a different model. So I think there's some structural things that are going on in Baltimore City that need to be addressed. Because if you're running a school like a business, unless the workers are unionized, you don't really care what's going on, do you?
Oof. See, and that's a concern, right? So how do we control that? We control that by who are we putting in office, who makes the decision about bringing in the school. Because we don't vote for the school superintendent, right? We don't vote for Dr. Sonia Santelices. But people that we do vote for are the ones responsible. And I'm not calling for her to be fired or anything like that.
Oh, no,
I'm just
saying
what you just said makes sense.
It makes sense. It's bigger than her. Some of this started happening under our first black mayor, Kirk Schmoke, who was in favor of some of the reform issues that lead to having a CEO, the business model. I mean, I'm sure you remember hearing schools need to be run like businesses.
Yes, yes. But you know what happens when they get run like businesses, right? When they get run like businesses, then our children don't matter because they see businesses as people. Isn't that the whole thing that now businesses are actually people? No. Our children should be first and foremost. So what would we lose by having our children already home right now? It's 4:00. I guarantee you that most of them who are commuting and taking more than one bus, they are not home and nowhere near getting home at this point.
Right. But what's seen as the bottom line is not getting children home safe.
No. What's also seen is not making sure they have heat or air. Because I keep coming back to that. I know it's people like, let's just make peace with that. How do we make peace with the fact that I turn the heat up in my house when I get cold? I put on an extra sweater, but I'm willing to send babies off who have to take off their extra sweaters because you got to have your uniform on.
Right.
And it's ice cold in the building. And I need you to be awake, moving. I need you to be, excited. I need to have your genius spark. You got to do all that and just suck it up and have grit. Why? Because you're black and you're poor and we don't deserve to give anything better and you won't get it from us.
Right. And Jonathan Kozol, incidentally, has written a book
about
that.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And I use that in my teachings.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Robert on the phone. Robert from Northwest Baltimore. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's just, it's very interesting that we just keep on going on with this revolving door about the expectancy of the failure of Baltimore City school system.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can look at. Yeah. We elect people who come on the basis of education, but yet you can't, and I'm really hard on this. Have one of them call me or call this show right here today and ask them what school did they visit after they were elected? Mm. What school did they tour after they were elected? And that is one of the problems with us. We eliminated all the good working janitors and custodians who knew how to work those boilers. And it virtually left the school system naked with unskilled workers.
I'm with you.
And this was done deliberately.
All right, I'm going to hold you there. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Trayvon from Harford County. He's been holding a while. Trayvon, thank you for holding.
How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well.
And, I just want to say Happy New Year's to you and your staff.
Thank you.
And I'm turning back a couple of pages, and I'm glad that you was able to get away for the holiday and pull some joy into your own heart to deal with this world that we're living in.
Hmm.
But what made me call was I was thinking about you while I was at the base, and I'm thinking, I said, Dr. K may be able to use what that young sister D said earlier, technology.
Yes.
Right? And it just clicked when I'm listening to her and listening to my heart. We have to make 2020 vision with YouTube.
Yes, we do.
These people need a visual of what's going on. Verbal is great, but they're locked in on what they see. And
yeah,
that crazy thing, that's what made that work, because if you posted that, we can see.
You're absolutely
you
right.
You can tell me any story in the world, my brother, my sister, but if I can see it, we can believe it.
We need the story. I appreciate you. I'm going to hold you there. Folks, when we come back, we have Mark and Beverly holding on. Tomorrow, Justina and I are doing a drive-by. Let me tell you what I mean by drive-by. We've decided to drive to all the places where people have reported seeing the young squeegee. Folks, we want to see what's going on out there. We have a number of addresses we're going to. If you know, where have you seen them? We're going to President Lombard, MLK Boulevard, North Avenue and Mount Royal, Liberty Heights and Hilton Parkway. Hilton Parkway near Walbrook. Justina and I are doing a drive-by, folks. We want to see what's going on out there. Hold it here. We'll be back after the break, and we're going to have more conversation about stories that matter to you and to me. This is Today with Dr. K. Stay with us.
And a good afternoon. On the pent line of the MARC system, an extra train has been added to the schedule, and that is making its way up toward the Baltimore Penn Station area. Train 537 heading south to Washington about 20 minutes late. No scheduled trains on the pent line heading to Baltimore from Washington are running late. Everything on time. Camden Train 848 heading about 10 minutes late to Camden Station. No delays on the light rail link, and the Metro Subway link is on time. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.